8 minutes after 10 on KMHL. Hey, good morning to you. It's Good Gardening from the Greenwood Nursery in Tracy and Marshall with owner Jeff Farber in studio once again this week. How's it going, Jeff?
It's going good, Heath.
Yeah.
Can dry out a little bit around the edges, but otherwise it's going good. Weather's beautiful out today. And
yeah, another beautiful day.
Maybe a little more rain again tomorrow, but we don't get to choose those things.
We really don't. With it. Just roll with the punches here,
don't
we?
Still a lot of people to get planting done yet.
Yeah, there are.
Hopefully they realize that there's plenty of time yet. I never plant my garden until middle of June, and I always have a good crop.
All right, good.
So there's plenty of time for everybody that doesn't have things planted yet.
Yeah, I finally got some things in the ground this last weekend, so I'm feeling pretty good.
When did you do that? It rained all day Saturday.
Sunday late in the day.
Did you just throw them at the ground?
Well, I had already had it all tilled. It was in the sun, and it dried out nice on Sunday,
it worked pretty well. Man, we had 2 inches of rain on Saturday.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Just keeps coming.
Mine's a tad bit wet, and I haven't even got it worked up yet, so it'll get done.
I snuck that into the middle, so we're off and running in our garden and yards and gardens and trees and shrubs, and everything's just growing like crazy with the nice rains we've had and the nice sunshine in between. It's really nice to see everything greened up, isn't it?
It is. That corn, I mean, some of that corn that was planted early, man, that's already close to knee high.
I know.
It's really growing, so good to see. Hopefully everything keeps growing good the rest of the summer.
Yeah, I hope so too. Well, we've got lots to talk about here this morning, and we're welcoming your phone calls as well. If you have questions about what's going on in your yard and in your gardens, give us a call here at 532-9626 or 532-9627, and Jeff will do his best to get your questions answered this morning here on KMHL and Good Gardening. Let's talk fertilizer, because there are a lot of different things that, of course, need fertilizer, like you and I need lunch a little bit later on today. Those plants need something to eat, too, don't they?
They do, and we're not talking about the BS kind either, so you and I got enough of that to go around.
Plenty to go around.
No, we're talking fertilizer, and with all the moisture that we've had, a lot of the plants are going to need more fertilizer. The fertilizer that you may be giving them earlier, especially in your garden or your lawn, has probably been used up or leached out. And so it's definitely beneficial to the plant, the containers that maybe you've planted, to make sure that you keep feeding that crop, you know, or those garden vegetables during the summer. It's very important to make sure your hanging baskets and containers are fertilized during the course of the summer here, to keep everything happy and healthy. And it's definitely important to make sure your lawn is taken care of, because with all this rain and all the mowing, they're using up a lot of nutrients already.
Right.
And I've had some people have me stop out and look at their lawns, wondering why they're kind of a yellowish green instead of a nice dark green like their neighbors. And it usually goes back to lack of nutrients.
Right.
And so it's very important to, just for information more than anything, to make sure that you're thinking about feeding those plants, feeding that lawn, feeding the trees. You know, there's plenty of time to do all of those, and some of those, different containers and garden vegetables and stuff really benefit from fertilizing on a regular basis from now through the, July and August. And so many times when we do see problems, it's because the plant is either undernourished or malnourished, or it's got disease or insect problems because the plant is not healthy due to nutrient requirements.
Okay.
And so just make sure that you're aware of it. Make sure that your containers are watered, on a regular basis. And therefore, when you're watering, you can add something as simple as the water-soluble fertilizers that are out there. You can put in the slow-release fertilizers that are available. We have different kinds for different products, different plants, that type of thing, for their yard and their garden. And we'd always be glad to, on a one-on-one basis, help them out at the stores, or if they call in, we can help them that way. But you can't just say one fertilizer is going to work for all instances, so it becomes more of a individual situation with what they might have in their yard, be it their lawn or their shrubs or their trees or their containers or their vegetable garden. It's, you can't just pick one fertilizer and have it work for all instances. So,
sure.
But just a point of information, to make sure that they feed those plants that they've purchased and planted and that are growing in their garden that they started from seed. You know, it's very important, you just want to keep that plant healthy. Being you've stuck the money into it, let's, you know, keep it healthy. And it's very cost effective to go out and do some fertilizing on these plants.
Yeah, you bet. And, you know, you're going to reap the benefits because you're going to have a green lawn, or you're going to have a beautiful container. You're going to have a bountiful harvest, too, right, in the garden, depending on what you do. And if you don't fertilize those things, you won't enjoy what the intended purpose was.
Well, and that's one thing with, especially in your produce, you know, your garden vegetables. Some people will come in the summer and say, well, boy, those varieties didn't do very good. And then yet we hear that same variety doing wonderful for somebody that's actually feeding their garden and taking right. care of their garden on a better basis. And so we know from experience that some of the varieties that out there are very good plants or very good producing vegetable, you know, items, but the lack of care or lack of nutrients plays a huge role in, you know, how well that's going to produce. And so people tend to forget that, you know, plants are like humans or animals. You got to feed them well and make sure they're got the correct nutrition to produce a healthy body, to produce a healthy animal or pet, and to produce a healthy garden.
Yeah,
so,
you bet.
So, yeah, it's very important to fertilize, and I'm sure that I'll talk about this again, you know, in upcoming shows, but I just wanted to make sure that people are realizing that and not forgetting to, you know, if they haven't purchased their fertilizer, to go out and purchase their fertilizer and then use it. You know, there's nothing you know, more useless is a box of fertilizer or a container of fertilizer sitting on a shelf.
Right.
And the plants are turning yellow and, you know, well, why aren't you using it? You know,
yeah.
Well, I just forget. So, and we all do that. I mean,
sure.
We all have a tendency not to remember, but this is a reminder to make sure they use their fertilizer.
Okay. Very good. Well, I'll ask you just for my instance, I've got tomatoes in my garden and I've got some cucumbers and a row of beans and a row of peas. What kind of things should you put on those?
Actually, some of the best stuff is going to be, I would, you know, if you want a one product serves all, the Fertilome tomato and vegetable food.
Okay.
Works the best. I mean,
sure.
It's good for production of all of those things that you mentioned. You know, there's some you know, it's different plants that will require higher nitrogen for one thing, like corn.
Sure.
Onions love higher nitrogen. You're going to get, you know, so that tomato food wouldn't work on those as well. But everything you mentioned, there's a all-purpose Fertilome vegetable and tomato food that would work great on everything you mentioned. And it's as simple as just side dressing around the row or side dressing around the plant and read the instructions, read the directions on how to apply it. But if you apply it according to directions, you'll see huge benefits from adding that to your garden.
Okay, very
good. And if you didn't put any fertilizer down when you tilled it up this spring or haven't done any when you planted, you know, there's always time to add it.
Right.
It's called side dressing, basically, which means you're putting it next to the plant or underneath the plant, somewhere where the rainfall or the moisture that you water it with will get it to the plants as they need it.
Okay. So, and garden fertilizer, or I should say lawn fertilizer, is that pretty much similar across all lawns, or does it depend on shade and sun and that kind of stuff?
No, your lawn fertilizer, lawns are a high nitrogen user.
Okay.
So what you want to look for there is typically, this time of year especially, fertilizers that are higher in nitrogen. Some of the better brands out there, the better fertilizers, are going to have quite a bit of slow release in it, which increases the cost of the product, but it gives it more even feed.
Right.
You know, which means that it isn't all available in a 2 or 3 week period when you water it in or irrigate it in or it rains. It's going to be there for 6 to 8 weeks. So it releases nitrogen more as a plant can use it instead of just releasing it with the moisture and temperature that's available. So, We've got a product at the store called Fertilum Classic Fertilizer that's got the slow release in it. And it's a great product. I use it on my lawn twice a year, usually in the spring here. And then in the later in August, early September, I'll put it on again. And those two feedings with my winterizer in the fall are just a real good program for myself. And people ask me why my lawn is always so green, but to keep it green, it's you got to feed it.
Right.
The drawback is when you feed it, you got to mow it.
Dang it!
So, and I love mowing lawn, so it, for me, it works it's not out a big all right. deal. But okay. But a lot of people don't necessarily get their giggles out of mowing lawn. But
sure.
If you want a green, you know, an actively healthy looking lawn, you got to fertilize that too. So
okay. All right. Very good. So check out your fertilizer options and talk to the gang at Greenwood Nursery for your particular situation and application. And they would be glad to point you in the right direction with some great Fertilome products that they carry at the store. We're taking calls too on the show today, so if you have a question for Jeff, we'd like to hear from you. 532-9626 or 532-9627. And the last couple of nights, I've noticed being out and about that the mosquitoes have arrived here officially.
They've been here, yep. Yeah. This past weekend with Memorial Day, we had quite a few customers in wanting to know what they could do for mosquitoes.
Okay.
And, you know, there's pros and cons for everything that you use, so we'll cover a few of them. And some people don't want to use chemicals. So one plant that some customers have told us works kinda is called lemongrass.
Okay.
And that's got a kind of a citrusy, lemony smell to it that's a repellent more than anything.
Sure.
I personally think that if I'm going to use lemongrass, I'd have to have it 6 foot deep on top of me to keep the mosquitoes from getting to me, because mosquitoes love me.
Uh-huh.
I got plenty of skin, as you know, that they go after. But that's one of the plants. If people have citronella, there's some scented geraniums that have the citronella smell to them, or the citronella candles or some of those things that are out there.
Sure.
Those are supposedly a good repellent also. I personally haven't had a lot of luck with those type of plant repellents.
Okay.
I don't know that I can get enough of them in an area to do a good job of repelling like they should. Some of the cultural things that work well are making sure that you've got, you know, empty containers and tires and that kind of stuff free of water, stagnant water.
Sure.
You know, that's where the mosquitoes breed. So try to make sure you look around your yard, dump those out. A chemical that I have found that works excellent in my own yard and for a lot of other people that are using it, it's a good chemical control. It's got a permethrin base, so it's same product that most people put on the backs of their pets for flea and ticks.
Sure.
But it's called High Yield 38 Plus. We've talked about it other years. It's a wonderful product. It lasts for 2 to 3 weeks, typically. Even through the rains, I've had it, you know, where I've applied it and gotten 2 to 3 week control out of it. It kills the mosquitoes as they land on the foliage that you spray it on. I spray it on my shrubs. I spray it on my lawn. I'll even spray it on the lower branches of the trees.
Okay.
In my yard. And I can dare to say I can usually walk out in my yard anytime during the, you know, early morning, evening hours, and I won't have mosquitoes after I've sprayed it. You might have one or two or three here and there, but nothing like it. You know, now when you walk out there, well, I haven't got too big of a problem yet, but they're coming. You know, before I spray it, I can walk out there and they're on me like ticks on a dog.
Right.
I mean, they're just thick. And so when I typically spray this, it eliminates a lot of the mosquitoes in my yard. I would say at least 90% of them.
Sure.
And it lasts. You know, it's not something you have to go out there and spray. And it doesn't take much spray. It's, you know, a teaspoon, or I think it's a half to one teaspoon per gallon of water is what the recommended rate is to control your mosquitoes. And it does work excellent.
Yeah.
So if they're not opposed to using chemicals in their yard, that is one that I would highly recommend for mosquito control. And it's, again, it's called High Yield 38 Plus, and we sell it at both stores in Tracy and Marshall. So it's just a really good mosquito control.
I have some of that in my garage at all times because it's good for mosquitoes, kill earwigs.
Earwigs works well on. There's a lot of different insects that it works on, not just mosquitoes. But, yeah, it's one of our safest insecticides that's available for all-around use.
Okay, very good. High Yield 38 Plus. Get you some of that at the Greenwood Nursery here in Tracy and Marshall. As we're taking your calls at 532-9626 or 532-9627. And looks like we do have a caller here with us this morning. We'll let it get through our high-tech screening system out front there. We got it done, and we've got her on the show. Good morning.
Well, it was horticulture oil or superior oil, and it was at the time we talked about it. It was for spraying on fruit trees to kill any caterpillars that are cocoons, that type of thing, egg masses. It basically suffocates the egg masses and the cocoons before they have a chance to open up. And it can still be applied, you know, with leaves on the plants after the fruit trees have lost their blossoms. Now, it you have to make sure you don't apply it in too high of temperatures because the oil could burn the leaves of the plants. And I do believe it could be used on the raspberries also, but there again, you have to make sure that you're not applying it on too warm of a day so that the oil can damage the leaves. So make sure you read the directions, and you can still get it on, but it's basically used on more dormant plant material when you're trying to conquer some of the eggs that may be overwintered on these plants. It's Fertilome horticulture oil. Dormant oil spray is another name for it. Dormant oil spray is what we sell, but there's some different products out there, and they're all a real fine horticultural oil that can be used on plants. But at the store, it's called dormant oil spray. This High Yield 38 Plus, yep, I'm familiar with what you're talking about. This High Yield 38 Plus would work. Fruit tree spray would work. It's got a product that's called spinosad in it. Or neem oil, I should say, in the fruit tree spray. Those are recommended for fruiting plants, and that would probably work the best as your fruit tree spray on those. Yes, you can. Yes. You're welcome.
All right. Thanks for the call here this morning on the Good Gardening Program. Good morning. You're on with Jeff.
Hello.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Yes. This High Yield 38 Plus, can you use it in your vegetable garden, like the beans and everything?
You can use it on vegetables, but it's got a label for vegetables, so make sure that you do read the label. And I don't have a label right in front of me, so there's certain things you can use it on and certain things you can't. But I use it on some of the things in my garden, and it works just fine. So.
Because my garden is just full of mosquitoes.
Yeah, you can use it. It'll work fine over the tops of your vegetables. It may not control all the insect problems that you have in a vegetable garden or potentially could have, but with the mosquitoes, it does a fantastic job. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm mostly concerned. Also, we put fertilizer in the spring with crabgrass killer, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then about the, I don't know, end of July or something, then we really get the crabgrass. Could a person reapply this fertilizer like maybe the middle of June or something again, and would it control longer so that we don't get all this crabgrass the last part of the summer?
Well, the crabgrass control that you're using, you know, whatever brand it is, it doesn't matter. But most crabgrass controls have a certain length of barrier that they work. And so yours probably works, you know, for 8 to 10 weeks, whatever you're putting down. And after that, the chemical is gone. It's dissipated. It's been used up. So, yes, it's important that you go back out in June here prior to a rain that they're forecasting, or if you can irrigate it and put it on that way, put it down again. The other thing that you can do is look for a product that's going to give you 14 to 16 weeks control. So you only have to do it once in the spring of the year.
Okay to do it again, like in the middle of June or something?
Absolutely. It's fine to do it again if you so desire to do it that way. But for next year, you know, if there's, you know, if you only want to do that once, Fertilome has a product called Crabgrass Control that's got a product herbicide in it called Dimension that lasts for 14 to 16 weeks. So you put that on the end of April, and it'll last till the end of August, so you don't have to go back and reapply it again. But being you've got this down and you always have this trouble, you need to go back and apply it again in June, so you've got another 6 to 8 to 10 weeks of control. And that'll get you through the end of August, first part of September. If crabgrass grows at that time, it will probably not produce any more seeds for the year, and you should have a longer season control that way. So,
okay.
But you'll have to put it down here.
You can't plant any good grass while you're doing all this stuff.
No. The grass seed that you put down will be subject to being killed by the chemical, too.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Good call there on the Greenwood Nursery's Good Gardening Program. We're welcoming your calls, too, at 532-9626 or 532-9627 this morning on KMHL. And that kind of works in a little bit to what we're going to talk about next is weeds in the yard, the garden, the perennials, all that good stuff.
Everywhere.
But, yeah, right. They're everywhere. They are. But, talk a little bit more about the lawn. You put that on and you've got it taken care of for a period of time, and then you should do some reapplication.
Well, yeah, the crabgrass control, and we've talked at it. You talked about it before on previous shows and earlier shows, and there's so many different products of crabgrass control out there.
Right.
And I've gone to so many lawns in July and August when people said that they put crabgrass control down and it didn't work. And actually, it probably did work. It just didn't work long enough, and that's because of the product that's in the chemical,
right,
or the chemical that's in the product that they were using. And with as many different kinds of fertilizer and kinds of crabgrass control that are on the market in the spring of the year, it's pretty tough for most people to know what they're actually getting, unless they know the chemical makeup or if they ask questions enough to find out what chemical is in there. Every bag will tell you exactly what's in there, but it's usually a Latin name or it's a long,
right,
chemical name that most people won't recognize. And so you need to know what you're putting down for that control for the crabgrass. And like I've said before, and like I just told her, the chemical that you're using is the most important part of that scenario, and you've got to have a product. If you only want to do it once, you want to look for a product that's going to last 14 to 16 weeks or 12 to 14 weeks. And if it's put down the end of August or end of April and you go ahead 12 weeks, that's going to take you till May, June, July. That's 12 weeks there. You get into mid-August. If you can wait till the first part of May and put it on, you'll get to the middle of August typically. Usually anything that would germinate after the middle of August, it's going to look bad, but it won't grow and mature into seeds for that same year. But if you can put the product down the end of August, or the end of April, and get 14 to 16 weeks control, which is approximately 4 months, that's going to take you to the end of August. And that's the product that we sell at the store. It's Fertilome crabgrass control.
Sure.
And it is more expensive. Any product that's going to put a weed barrier in your yard for that long is going to cost more than a product that's only going to give you 8 weeks of control.
Right.
But if you figure out what that product cost you with 8 weeks control, double it because you're going to need that to apply it twice, and then factor in a little bit of cost for your own labor to do that. It might be cheaper to go with the cheaper or the more expensive product right away.
Yeah.
It's just a lot handier to put it down. And so those are questions that we always get, and we always see the problem come up later on in the summer. Now, with all the rain we've had this year, so far in the spring here, a lot of this chemical, even the long-term stuff, could eventually leach out or become less effective because of all the rain that we've had here. And we haven't had exorbitant amounts of rain in this part of the area. Marshall hasn't had near the rain Tracy's had, and Tracy hasn't had near the rain that down by Worthington has had. So it's going to depend on where you're located in the listing area. But there's definitely products out there that will last longer than 6 to 8 weeks, and some of the cheaper products, you just have to apply it more often, to get that same season-long control. But with that said, it all works.
Yeah.
Every crabgrass control out there will work. It just you know, when the weeds start showing up, it's done with how long a time it was supposed to work.
Yeah, it's done its work. How about when we talk about weeds in our gardens and our perennial beds, what kind of things can we do there?
Well, you know, we get a lot of questions this time of year with, we've got grass in our perennials. We've got grass in our rhubarb. We've got grass in our strawberries. We've got grass in our raspberries. We've got grass in the asparagus. And there's a product that we've got at the store, and we recommend it a lot. It's called Fertilome Over the Top 2. And what that does, it kills the grass. If you've got grass in your perennial gardens, you don't want to apply it to that. You know, if you've got some ornamental grasses that you've bought and paid for, you don't want to spray it anywhere around those, because this chemical will not distinguish between a weed grass that you might have and the ornamental grass that you might have.
Okay.
But it's a fantastic time saver to go out there and use it over these different perennial type crops where it's doggone hard to get brome grass or quack grass out of those beds.
Right.
And the key to it is getting it when the grass gets, you know, stays shorter than 6 to 8 inches.
Okay.
If it gets taller than that, you might have to go out there and cut it down, have it start to regrow, and then spray it so that it's on more juvenile growth. But it works really good to control the perennial grasses that you don't want in those beds.
Okay.
And again, it's called Fertilome Over the Top 2. And it's a product that works, and it's a huge time saver. It is a chemical. You know, some people don't want to use chemicals around their vegetables and their fruits and whatnot. But so be aware that product is a chemical. The only other way that you can get those out of those areas is by hand pulling or hand weeding, and you're not going to be happy with the end result. It may look good for a few days, but the root system from the quack grass, if you can't get it out of there, it comes right back again. So if you really want to get rid of it completely, you basically will have to use a chemical product to get it out of those established beds.
Okay.
So,
and that's for grasses. How about for some like broadleaf weeds?
Broadleaf weeds in some of those beds, you're going to have to be very careful. The good thing about broadleaf weeds in those beds, they're annual. They start from seed, so they pull easy. Once you've pulled it out, it's gone. With the exception of like thistles, dandelions, some of those plants you'd have to spot treat with a chemical. You can use a broadleaf weed killer on those of any kind. We recommend, you know, Fertilome Weed Out. But if you get it on the non-targeted plants, you know, your strawberries, for example, or your raspberries, or, you know, those types of things, if you spray it on there, you're going to kill those plants that you spray it on. So you got to be very, very careful when you use a product like that around the plants that you don't want to damage.
Okay.
And, you can cover the plants right around it, or shield them with a piece of cardboard, or cover it with cloth so that you're just working on the weedy patch that you might be dealing with. But it's difficult to control some of those weeds in those beds if they're perennial type weeds. If they're annual weeds and you get it down early enough, some of the pre-emergence, similar to what you're using on the lawn, will control some of the broadleaf weeds that are in there. And a good one that we recommend is a high-yield product called Weed and Grass Stopper. And that product can be sprinkled over the top of the garden. It can be sprinkled over the top of the vegetable beds. It can be sprinkled over your perennial beds and watered in. And what that'll do is it'll stop broadleaf weeds and grasses that start from seed. And it basically kills them as they germinate. So there's different products out there for different scenarios, different situations that you use. And they can stop out to the store and tell them the problem they're having, and we can help them figure out what the best solution is for their situation. But there's a lot of different cultural things you can do in gardens. Mulching, pulling, hoeing, all those things work very well, just involve more labor and take more time. So it just depends on which way you want to go, the course of action, and how prized that bed of strawberries is or the asparagus is. Sometimes it's almost impossible to get grass out of those those plants. And strawberries, it's easier to start a new bed sometimes and try to fight the grass. Just make sure you put the new strawberries in an area where you've gotten rid of all the grass and right. and started that way. Asparagus, it's, you know, that's a long-term perennial, so over the top two might be a good choice for that.
Okay.
For asparagus beds. So.
Okay. And then there are some spots that people have, you know, if it's around a building or maybe under an evergreen tree, you just don't want anything growing.
Right. And there is a real good product. I've used it a few years now on my own yard. There's a product called Kills All Extend. It's like a Roundup mixture with prodiamine in it, and it kills anything that's there. That's what the Roundup does, or the Kills All. And the Extend portion of it is this prodiamine, which is got 10 to 12 months of residual.
Okay.
So it won't allow any seed that falls in that area to germinate. You don't want to use it in gardens. You don't want to use it in your, you know, where you want to plant something. You don't want to use it in lawns where you want the grass to grow, or you might have to reseed. But if you're using it around buildings, if you're using it underneath the spruce trees or pine trees where you don't want to have anything growing underneath there because of mowing, it looks better not to have anything than it does to have grass that you can't mow or weed whip.
Right.
This product will work very well in those areas where you just want to basically, you know, have it permanent for a while. You want to kill everything and not damage the tree, or around buildings where you don't want to have to weed whip every time you mow. This will give you a barrier that will make it weed free for up to 10 to 12 months.
Okay.
So if you put it down in June, by next June it'll still be doing its job. You'll have to reapply it then, but by that time it'll be ready to be sprayed again. So.
Okay, very good. Another caller here on the line in Good Gardening. Good morning. Thanks for waiting. You're on with Jeff.
Are you talking to me?
We are.
Good. I have a question. I've got hosta garden, and some of the hostas are getting chewed on, and I can't find the little critter or worm that's doing it. Why is it it attacks some of them and not all of them?
You probably have slugs, and some varieties of hostas are more palatable or more enjoyable for a slug to chew on. Some varieties of hostas are a little more resistant to slug issues, but my guess would be that you've got slugs. They love the hostas. They like to be underneath the mulch, if you've got mulch, or even the rock, if you've got rock around your hostas. They like the shady spots. Slugs are visible at night, not during the daytime, so that's why you're having trouble finding them, right, you know, when you're looking. They do most of their eating in the evening hours because they do like it dark. And by the time the sun rises in the morning, they're back either underneath the mulch or underneath the soil a little ways. They like leaf debris, so if you've got some leaves around, they'll crawl underneath that during the day. But most of it, they've picked out varieties that you've got that they like to eat, and that's why you see more damage on some of them. If you don't treat it, eventually the leaves will just get bigger holes and bigger holes, you know, they'll make them look that much worse. There is a product that you can sprinkle on the ground. It's snail and slug bait. It's a high-yield product that we sell at the store that will work very well on it. Some people will take out and pan and put beer in it. I've heard that that's a remedy for it. I like a beer once in a while, but I'm not going to feed it to my slugs. But some people say it works. I'm not sure how well it works, but I've heard that that's a use of beer to get rid of slugs. So, but if you don't do anything, they will continue to eat your hostas all summer long.
Which is the cheapest treatment?
Well, the most effective treatment isn't always going to be the cheapest treatment, but I don't remember off the top of my head what the snail and slug bait costs, but I know it works. I'm not going to say beer works real good, but you know, if you've got a beer there, give it a try. It's probably cheaper to use a bottle of beer, but it might be a total waste of a bottle of beer. So, but that's, you know, it's no chemical involved with the beer. And like I said, some people don't want to use chemicals, but you can give that a try first if you've got it. Otherwise, the snail and slug bait, I know, will work the best.
I'll probably be out to get the slug stuff. I don't have any beer. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Bye.
Very good. Another good call here in Good Gardening from the Greenwood Nurseries in Tracy and Marshall. And, of course, as we get, you know, into these nice days here, it's great to come out to the nursery because you guys have such a wonderful stock on hand of all kinds of great products. If you've got a spot you need something, or if you still haven't planted your vegetable garden or need some more, I mean, there's just all kinds of wonderful stuff out there.
Yeah, things are looking really great, and the colors are, everything is blooming well, and we do have a lot of nice finished containers for that person that wants to just put a nice pot on the patio and be done real simple. We've got them planted and ready to go. We still have a large variety of annuals and perennials and succulents and fairy garden plants. If you want to create your own masterpiece, we've got that to work with also. Everything is just so lush this year and growing well with the temperatures that we've had and the moisture that we've had and the fertilizer that we give them, you know, like top of the show. Fertilizer is a lot to making things look good, so and to keep them looking good. So there's a good supply of everything available. There's a few things that we might be out of, but there's good substitutes for some of the things that we are out of. And there's a lot of gardens to be planted yet. We were just talking before the show that, you know, you got some stuff in. I haven't planted anything, and I know quite a few people that haven't planted because we get calls every day wondering if we got this available or that available. And so there's still plenty of time to get their vegetable gardens planted yet. And we're still planting our flower gardens yet at the nursery. And we just got done hanging all the pots for the downtown Tracy this past week now. So there's a lot of time to get a lot of these chores done and to make the area more beautiful.
Yeah, especially with a nice day like today. So head to the nursery, and you've got your afternoon's work cut out for you then, right?
Yep, or your afternoon's enjoyment.
Well, that too. That's right. I like it too. It's enjoyable. And I tell you what, I made my boys weed the south side of our house and put some fresh mulch down. And boy, they griped and groaned and didn't like it. But I said afterwards, you know, after they'd kind of gotten done, and later I said, go around, look at that side of the house. What do you think of that? Well, that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, so you take pride in what
you're starting
the
pride in them early.
That's right.
It might be a lot of grumbling, but it never hurt anybody to go pull a few weeds.
No, exactly. So they did a good job. It was a lot of fun. Well, Jeff, always a pleasure to have you in here. Tell us about the hours out at the store for folks to come and see you guys.
We still have our extended hours here for the month of June all the way till the end of the month. We'll be 8 to 8 Mondays through Fridays, Saturday from 8 to 5, and Sundays from 11 to 4.
All right. Sounds good. Stop by and see him at the Greenwood Nursery. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Heath.
You bet. Jeff Farber is the owner of the nursery and joins us every other Thursday throughout the growing season. So we'll look forward to talking with Jeff again on June the 16th right here on Radio 14 KMHL in Marshall. Don't forget, you can hear the podcast of this program on greenwoodnurserymn.com.